Brad is on the line. Hi, Brad. How you doing?
I am.
You said that like some preacher from behind the pulpit.
And you, brother?
Oh, please. You're not going to do that, are you?
No.
Okay, good.
Because it's been so long.
It's been a while, yeah, Brad. It's been been quite a while, but I apologize. I've been extremely busy with launching some new efforts, and I've been having a lot of fun with them. And I haven't had time to do a call, but I sure have enjoyed your article. So keep them coming. But in the meantime, wow, what are you doing here, buddy? Are you trying to rip down a few centuries of practice with one article, or what?
Well, it got you that well.
Well, do you worship Jesus? Should you? I mean, seriously. Well,
What do you make of that question?
Well, isn't our entire church system built on worshiping Jesus? How can you just toss it out all of a sudden?
I'm just asking a question.
Well, the question that every Christian who attends church should reply to this question should be, of course I do. Of course I worship Jesus. We sing about it in hymns. It's talked about in the pulpit. It's referred to in the Bible. You even refer to it in your own article. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord.
Well, are you going to argue with me or what? What's the tenor of your...
Well, I kind of get that you're saying no. No, I shouldn't be worshiping Jesus. That's what your article suggests.
Well, I kind of like what I said. Challenge that comes from making Jesus a man, an icon of worship, is that it takes away from the true responsibility of discipleship as Jesus defined it.
Well, that's quite a complex pile of gobbledygook.
So now I know you're always doing a yellow highlight. So what did you highlight?
Well, I highlighted this discipleship as defined by Jesus, avoiding the responsibility of discipleship as defined by Jesus. Well, how did Jesus define discipleship?
Well, I think what he said basically was two things, but... basically, if we're to follow him, if we're going to be disciples of his, he asks a question. Is the disciple above his master? He said, no. He said, a disciple, when fully formed, will be exactly like his master. So, the call is that we are to be Jesus.
Well, how does that work? Your challenge here is whether or not to worship Jesus. And as far as I understand Christianity, it's set up to worship Jesus. Okay?
I think so. I wouldn't disagree.
I'm positive of that. From the cross that they put on the front of the building to some beautiful Catholic churches and Anglican churches I've been to in Europe, the imagery of Christ on the cross is everywhere. The imagery of Mary and Christ as a child. I can go on the internet and I can pull up thousands and thousands of images of Christ as the shepherd and so on and so forth. I mean, that's worshiping Jesus. I can remember singing the songs. You can do a song list of worship. Just type in song in the internet, songs and worship Jesus. I'm quite sure at least 1,000 will come up.
So what do you think is wrong with that picture?
Well, I don't know that there is something wrong with that picture. If people want to worship Jesus, what's the problem? Why are you suggesting that we shouldn't do that?
How about because we were never intended to worship Jesus, he never intended to be worshipped? How about if he called us to be like, not only just like him, but actually to be him? And so it just takes away from our responsibility to do what he said to do.
So
I'm worshiping him. I'm not at all attempting to do what he said to do because I'm on my bended knee and this isn't the time for being on a bended knee.
You're saying it's wrong and that because I am bending my knee or anyone is bending their knee to Jesus that it resolves them or relieves them from the responsibility that he put on us to become him, right?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, so how does it do that? How are those two actions tied together? Because if I shouldn't be doing that, and that's preventing me from moving on spiritually, I want to know. how does my saying, Jesus, I worship you, and bending my knee, and bowing my head, how is that preventing me from becoming a tower of faith and doing all the things that he did?
How? That's a good question. I need to, Daddy, help me. I thought this would be a rather, what's the word do I want to use? I thought Dad gave me this whole line of thinking. It would stir you into a more, I'm going to be blunt, Ryan. I thought it would stir you into a more intelligent response than just asking me the question.
Well, what you're doing here is you're saying that not only is 2,000 years of history wrong, but every person who ever walks into a Christian church and says, sings a song, Jesus, I worship you, and bows their head and bends their knee, is wrong. And I know that there are millions and millions of Catholics who fold down this little wooden thing and get down on their knees as they go through their prayers. And their prayers include the worship of Jesus Christ. You're saying, when you make this statement, should I, that, no, I shouldn't be doing that, because it removes me from becoming all that I can be, and that is becoming Christ.
I'm saying that the focus on Jesus the man as an icon of worship is a word I used in the article, that we look to him and say, this man is God.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. This is the Catholic view, but it's also the view of most Protestants. I don't think it's any different.
No.
I don't want to beat up on any religion particularly, or any, whether it's Catholicism or Protestantism. That is the issue to me. The issue is, you want to take a look at what Jesus has seriously called us to be and do, or do you want to just say, oh, I love you? Because that's like telling your wife you love her and then refuse to do anything that indicates that you really are committed to her. And that's kind of a lousy example, because that's two different people. But Jesus has said anyone who believes enough will do the same things I do. In fact, if you believe enough, he basically really said you'll be Jesus. And that's the point. It's becoming Jesus. It's being Jesus instead of worshiping him, which absolves you of the call, because you think because you're worshiping him that you're doing the right thing. I contend it's not following him at all. It's not being a disciple. It's anything but.
Huh. But, okay, so let's follow this logic. The logic goes kind of like this. Jesus is the Son of God, and by extension, God. And he made that pretty clear with most of his I Am statements. It's pretty clear to me that in the Old Testament, and I can't speak about the New Testament, that we're supposed to be worshiping God. As a matter of fact, I think he set aside a whole day just for us to do that. Correct?
I won't argue. I'm not even about to start down that road of argument.
But that's Christian doctrine. That's Judaism. God set aside a day for us to focus and our worship and our attention on him. So,
and
if Jesus is Lord, Jesus is God, the Son of God, and therefore God, the creator of the universe, made man. I can remember a podcast here where we've discussed that first chapter of John in great detail, where Christ became the man and walked the earth. And so you're suggesting that I'm not supposed to worship him, and I'm confused. I am, because all of the teaching and doctrine that I have heard at the Christian church is that we are to worship God. And Christ, Jesus Christ, is a form of God, the living God.
Well, I would say that Christ is actually the creator of the universe. But Jesus, the man, didn't create the universe.
Well, but the two are one and the same.
Who says?
And the Word was God, and the Word became and walked among us, and blah, 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 blah. John says.
Actually, you got it. You know, that's very good. And until you understand what that really means, you're not going to walk in the footsteps of the one who told us to believe and be as he was as a man. You're going to be sitting in a pew listening to drivel about Jesus at best, instead of doing what he said to do. He didn't tell you to worship him. He said, "What? You know, why are you calling me good? There's only one good, and that's God." He made the differentiation.
Okay, fair enough. He did differentiate, yeah. Well, what about when he was walking on the road with Peter, and he gave Peter such high praise for identifying him as the Son of God?
Well, you say the same thing about Ryan Bruce.
Oh.
Ryan, you are the Son of God. I can point to the same book. What we do with John, the Gospel of John, is we take things out of the context, I believe, in which John was speaking them. He's trying to point out that the creator of the universe, and I don't have trouble believing this, but the creator of the universe, the Word, who was with God and was in fact God, created everything. I'm not going to have any problem with that. And this Word, who was God and was with God, became a man. I don't have any problem with that. What I have a problem with is when you take the man and say, that's God. The man isn't God. Jesus never claimed to be God. Thou art the Son of God, is what Peter said. He said, yeah. He said, well, God showed you that. That's great. And I'm telling you that you are the Son of God. And the Holy Spirit, or the Christ, has told me that, Mr. Bruce.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm saying the same thing about you. Oh, well, does that mean you're equal with Jesus? Well, if you aren't equal with Jesus, then you're not being who he told you to be.
Okay.
So, do you want to worship him? That man?
Well, no, I'm not worshiping the man. I'm worshiping the God in him. God, him, the creator of the universe. Through Christ.
Hey, and that's great. You and I can say there's a wonderful word that I love. It's namaste, which means I salute or I honor or I acknowledge that same God in you. It's kind of in the Eastern tradition or in the Indian or Hindu tradition. It's the same thing. He is in you, and I worship who he is. I even worship him in you. I worship him in Jesus. And Jesus was the first manifestation that I became aware of. But the difficulty is that instead of paying any attention to what he said and paying any attention to what the intention was for the creator of the universe to become a man, we go and get all off on stuff that means nothing. Came so that you could, he was an example for you to be. This is what you can be, an overcomer. You can be a miracle worker. You can be a co-creator with the creator of the universe. And instead you say, oh, how I love Jesus, and you do nothing.
Well, hold on a second. Hold on there. Slow down there, Big Tiger. Why does worshiping Jesus Christ prevent me from doing what he did? That's what I don't get, because it sits here very clearly, and I'm not going to take it out of context. I'll read the whole thing. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow.
That's a future statement, and it's the point, and it's what John is saying in the first chapter. You know, he also said, everybody that gets this, and people misconstrue it, and they misinterpret it, mistranslate it, they say, everybody that receives Jesus, to them, he gives the power to become the sons of God. Oh, that's great. I've received Jesus. No. What he's clearly saying is everybody that understands and realizes that the creator of the universe became a man, and you realize that and you see that, you have just understood who you are and what you are, and you have the beginning of becoming as he was. Oh, he was, you're supposed to be.
Oh, okay, I get that. I'm with you on that one. I don't have a problem. But the question is, why can't I worship Jesus too? What's the problem? Why does that prevent me? Because your article says, should I? Your challenge is me personally, saying, hey, Ryan, should you be worshiping Christ? Jesus Christ. Jesus the man. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Any Jesus. Anything about Jesus. Should I be doing that? Why not? Why shouldn't I?
Are you willing right now to ask the same spirit parent that resided in Jesus, are you willing to ask that same spirit parent, call it him, her, Holy Spirit, call it him, her, whatever you want to call, are you willing to ask the question, am I supposed to be worshiping the man Jesus?
Yes, I'm willing to ask that question.
Get your answer. I'm trying, the reason I wrote the article was to get the attention of somebody to say to themselves, wait a minute, am I on the right track with what I'm doing? That's all. So it is a challenge. It's a challenge to you now. You, whom I expected more of, Mr. Bruce.
Nice try. Yeah, I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to ask.
I think this telephone conversation should end, because we're not going to get anywhere until you do that.
Okay.
If you're told to go ahead and worship Jesus and to kick Brad Cullen in the teeth, have at it, brother.
Okay. I'll call you back. I'm assuming that there's more to go in this. Is that right?
You know what I'm going to do?
Yeah.
I have written a part two, and not only a part two, while I was writing part three, I was instructed that I'm supposed to write a book called Being Jesus. Okay. And I'm pretty excited about it, but maybe you'll refuse to publish it.
Well, let me just go ask.
now we're talking, and while you're at it, why don't you ask, what now? Which is the subtitle of the most recent book you published, which Amazon still hasn't put up, because as I understand it, the cover doesn't meet their measurement requirements or something. But, and then say, what now?
Send me your second article, and I'll pray about it. You bet. Should I worship Jesus? I'll go and ask.
Wow. Okay. I'm excited about whatever answer you get, because, brother, every time you go and you get answers, they blow me away, and you go way over my head. Can I make a little statement again about the book I wrote called Leapfrog? Because that's the base of it.
Okay.
So I love you. I thank you for the call, and call me when you get the next article, and let's have at it.
Okay, I'll do it. Thanks, Brad.
Thank you. Appreciate the call, Ryan.